Good morning, Franciscans.
Good morning.
Very nice to share this time of worship with you in Eastertide. If you were listening as you came in this morning, and so you probably heard Michael, our organist, play the prelude by our own Gerald Neer, and then that rousing opening hymn. Wonderful.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Jesus prayed for his disciples, and then he said, I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one. As you, Father, are in me, and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given them, so that they may be one as we are one. I and them, and you and me, that they may become completely one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you loved me. Father, I desire that those also whom you have given me may be with me where I am, to see my glory, which you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Righteous Father, the world does not know you, but I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I made your name known to them, and I will make it known, so that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Let us pray. Into your hands we commit ourselves, O Christ, for your holding, you're directing, you're inspiring, you're perfecting. Bless us with your power to heal, help, liberate, and challenge. Bless us with your yearning for a better world and a fuller faith. Bless us with your Holy Spirit within us and among us. Amen.
Amen.
If Jesus prayed for you and me, what do you suppose he'd pray for? We hear about Jesus praying from time to time in the Gospels, but we almost never hear who or what he's praying for. In today's Gospel reading, we hear both. The who he's praying for is us, you and me. What the lectionary gives us from John's Gospel today is a portion of Jesus' last word to his disciples at the end of the Last Supper. In this time between his last meal with them and his departure for the garden where he'll be arrested and taken to trial, he says his farewell to them and prepares them for what lies ahead of them. He concludes with prayer to his Father, a prayer with three parts. He begins by praying for himself. Next, he prays for his disciples. Finally, he prays for us, for those who will believe in him through the word of those who know him, his disciples, his friends. The ones whose witness has been passed down from person to person, written in the Gospels and proclaimed as the word from generation to generation. We who believe in him because we've heard that word are the ones that Jesus intercedes for in his prayer to the Father that night, you and me, and millions of others. We are the church, the body of Christ, the blessed company of all faithful people. Jesus prays for us that night. Amazing, isn't it? It's like he's looking through time, looking at each one of us, seeing us, knowing us. And he is, because of course God is outside of time. For Christ, everything has been, is, and is yet to come. We are as present for him as are the disciples as he prays that night. And he is as present for us today. Jesus prayed for us And what he prayed for was unity. He prayed that we all may be one, completely one, the way that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are one. And he prayed that we might be in them and they in us, so that the love shared between the Father and the Son might also be shared between those who believe and God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In a very real sense, Jesus was praying that through us, the purpose of his incarnation might be fulfilled. You see, God desired unity with us so much that God became one of us. God the Father sent the Son to draw humanity into the relationship that exists between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Creator and created as one. But the purpose hasn't fully been realized yet. Part of humanity, the part John calls the world, still turns its back on God. And so Jesus prayed that those of us who believe, the body of Christ, might through our unity with each other and with God, bring the world to the knowledge of and belief in Christ, and thus draw all of humanity into the flow of love between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In short, Jesus prayed that we might choose to claim our part in bringing about the kingdom of God, because we have a key role in that, and love and unity are at the heart of it. And what a blessing this prayer is. How blessed we are that Jesus prayed that we too may share in the love that he shares with the Father. That the love that we have for each other, which draws us together, be part of that very same love. That's a prayer I can pray also. At the same time, Jesus' prayer is also an invitation, one that brings responsibility with it if we accept it. It's an invitation to not only live as Christ's presence in the world, but to be Christ's presence in the world by who we are. And not only individually, but collectively. To accept the invitation, we as believers must embody the reciprocal, self-giving love seen in the life of Jesus, so that Christ is known through us. If we can't do that with each other, then the world will not believe that Christ was sent out of God's love for the world and that God's love for them is boundless and eternal. Unity. This was Jesus' prayer for us. Do we join Jesus in this prayer? Is it our prayer also? Certainly, unity is far from the prevailing norm in our world today. Polarity and divisions rule the day. Do we buy into those? Divisions exist among Christians and have for centuries. Do we support and defend those divisions? Divisions exist in our own Anglican communion. Just this past week, conservative African bishops announced that they'll boycott next summer's Lambeth Conference, the decadal gathering of the bishops of the Anglican Communion, because bishops in same-sex unions have been invited to attend. The African bishops see the presence of these bishops as an endorsement of homosexuality, which they reject as contrary to Scripture. How can we hope to heal the world when our doctrinal positions become more important than relationship and love? Even here in the Episcopal Church, dioceses and churches have split away over the ordination of LGBTQ bishops and same-sex marriage. Do we let our dug-in positions get in the way of reconciliation and understanding? Unity does not mean unanimity. As believers, we don't have to agree with each other on everything. That's not what Jesus prays for us. He simply prays that we take God's love for the world to heart and embody that love with each other. That we be generous and forgiving, caring and humble, seeking relationship and reconciliation and serving the needs of others. What would it look like if we all did this? What would it look like if we as believers were fully united with each other? What a powerful witness that would be. What a catalyst for change that would be in the world. Imagine a church where our commonalities bind us together as Christians and our differences in doctrine or practice are tolerated, even celebrated for the richness of diversity they bring. Imagine an inclusive church where all are welcomed and valued for who they are, perfect children of God. Imagine a church where loving and serving one another in peace is its existential purpose, and all believers conform their lives and actions to this purpose. How long would a world of conflict, greed, discrimination, power, division, and hatred stand in the face of such a shining example of the love that people can have for each other and the love that God has for the world? But is this unity among the body of Christ even realistic? Can we ever achieve this vision for the church? You tell me. It begins with each and every one of us. Is Jesus' prayer for us your prayer too? Are you willing to be Christ's presence in the world? If so, what do you need to do differently? In what ways do you need to reorient yourself? Ask yourself, who am I not willing to be one with? And why? Because he or she is a bad person, believes the wrong things, has hurt me or others, is not like me? Is it worth rejecting Jesus' invitation to be his presence in the world and share his love with everyone just to hang on to that reason? Ask yourself, what kind of God am I revealing to the world? Does the world see the reciprocal, self-giving love of Christ through me? Does the world see through me a loving, merciful, and forgiving God who heals, helps, liberates, and challenges? Or a petty, judgmental, self-serving God looking out for himself and his own interests? We can ask the same thing of our community of St. Francis. What kind of God are we at St. Francis revealing to the world? How does the rest of the world know Christ through us? You see, each member of the body of Christ has a choice. We can rationalize our thoughts and actions that separate us from others, or we can choose to do all we can to bring about the kingdom of God, to share the love that the Father and the Son share with each other, to be completely one. God needs us as believers to come together to transform the world. And Jesus prays for us to do just that. Christ will continue to be with us as we begin the change. He sees us, knows us, and he continues to walk with us every day. His prayer gives us strength and courage to face the challenges that our world throws in the way of our transformation. and it inspires us to new ways of being that will bring about a world that truly knows the love of God, the love that Christ came into the world to share with us all. Amen.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. You have heard the word. Now the work begins. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah.